Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Hello and welcome to Zero Pucks Given, the UK ice hockey podcast. We are in partnership with the Hockey Art Co, hockey clothing for hockey people, worn by the best and hated by the rest. Listeners to Zero Pucks Given get a 10% discount off everything site-wide at hockeyartclothing.co.uk. Just use the code ZP10 upon checkout to get your discount. And we are also in our final week of our sponsorship period with Manscaped, redefining the gentleman with exceptional male grooming products. If you use the code ZEROPUCKS, all one word, all caps, at manscaped.com, you'll get 20% off and free shipping on any of your purchases there. I'm nice and fresh today. I can possibly not show you where I shaved earlier, otherwise I will probably get cancelled off of YouTube and all sorts of other places. But yeah, you vouch for me, that works incredibly well. So, and we are also on the Sports Social Podcast Network, the largest sports podcast network in Europe. So we're absolutely thrilled to be a part of that. And it just goes to show really just how much Zero Pucks has grown in the sort of the last sort of year and a bit that it's been going. So yeah, fantastic stuff. This is episode 91. I'm Ben. Welcome along to Zero Pucks Given. Absolute pleasure this episode. Joined by a guy I started speaking to Dean about a year ago. He was quite excited about the podcast and that it was getting a little bit more details out there about the game in general, but at the time it was really mainly a lot of Chelmsford Chieftains stuff. And Dean Burrell has had an awful long kind of tie with the Chieftains. He's been many roles within the club, come back every time a sort of a coach seems to depart. Dean seems to appear on the bench as well to sort of to do his thing. So it was a real great honor to speak to Dean Burrell. And we'll get to that just in a minute. A little bit of breaking news that we have come out today is that Slough Jets putting their roster together for the next couple of years. Of course, last week they confirmed that they've got Seb Moore on signed for 2 years. Today have confirmed that Jack Goodchild has done the same and has locked in for 24-25 and for 25-26. So Schmitz is certainly putting a strong young roster together to take on the other teams in South 1. So with that news out of the way, we will get straight to our chat with the main man, Dean Burrell. Zero Pucks Given in partnership with the Hockey Art Clothing Company, with Manscaped Male Grooming Products, and on the Sports Social Podcasting Network. absolutely delighted to welcome Dean Burrell. How are you doing this evening, sir?
Good, very well, thank you.
I mean, thank you so much for joining me. This is something we actually spoke about well over a year ago.
And we've
finally got round to getting it on. Well, cause, I mean, at that time, you'd done a role then that you've done a couple of times. You stepped in to sort of take helm of the Chelmsford Chieftains after the departure of Mark Saunders, as you'd done the season before, after the departure of Joe Wilson. So it was...
yeah, kind of fighting fires. I had spoken with Derek at length after Joe sadly left, about who to bring in, and I had mentioned that Mark I thought would be a really good fit. So I was kind of surprised that that never worked out for both parties here. But yeah, it's always kind of a pleasure to come back and do something like that with, you know, help out with a team, you know, that I've been there a long time with Chelmsford and being affiliated kind of with them for a long time. So, you know, I've got a lot of time for Derek. So, he needs a little hand now and then, it's not a problem.
Yeah, so through the years, obviously, roles including assistant coach, head coach, director of hockey operations, a lot of involvement with the Chieftains and the Warriors. And as you say, popping back from time to time to offer a helping hand when it's required.
Yeah.
But currently with the Oxford City Stars in the junior setup.
In the junior setup now, yeah. My lad Archie is playing for the under-16s and the under-18s. And, you know, I was down at the rink, so it was a case of, right, get the skates on again and back onto the ice we go.
Occupational hazard.
Yeah, and it's different from working with adults and senior players. Going to, you know, 14 to 16, 17 year olds and working with them. I don't think I've changed too much. I'm still quite old school and very shouty. but we seem to be doing not too bad so far.
Funnily enough, that's excuse me, that's something I sort of had a chat with Pete Wynn about when Pete was on the podcast, was that as you move forward in coaching, especially now if you've gone from coaching men to coaching juniors, is there things you now cannot say, cannot do, because times have just changed?
Yeah, there's
as mad as it may be.
Certainly aware, Ralph, you know. I mean, I was speaking to Pete at the weekend there because he brought his Swindon kids down. And, there's certainly things like I'm very conscious of going in a changing room unless I've got another adult there. I'm kind of lucky in a way that they are sort of a bit more worldly, the age group that I work with. But yeah, I mean, your language is a thing. You know, you used to maybe put your arm around a kid and speak to them and just things like that. You've kind of got to be conscious of now, and it's sad in a way, but you know, it's something that you don't want to find yourself in that kind of predicament that someone says something and you go, whoa, hang on.
Mad times, isn't it?
Yeah. It's a bit of a shame. I mean, I remember when I was a kid, you know, some of the coaches I had, Bean Anderson and Jonker Johnston, you know, from Durham, and if you weren't listening, you got a clout. You know, Jonker's given me a few wallops over the chops, you know, like, for, you know, I remember one time in the old Durham rink, this is how old I am, under 16, and we would go down there and we'd train on a Friday night and we'd get off the ice about 12 o'clock and I stupidly never brought any more sweat gear, so I hung it up in this freezing cold place, 6 o'clock in the morning, and I remember standing there and he was describing a drill and I had soaking wet sweats on and it was 7 o'clock in the morning and I got fascinated by some pigeons up in the broken windows and I just got this wallop from the side. And I, hey, son, listen up. Oh, sorry, Jonker, you know. And that was just the way it was there, you know. Bean Anderson, he was another one. He would, you know, just tell you to do something and you kind of never thought twice about it. Off you went and you got it done kind of thing, you know, back then. But, times have changed with the coaching now, sure. Big style.
Do you find it is it preferable coaching juniors to adults? Do you find they listen a bit more?
You get, they, well, not so much they listen more. I think you see a greater difference and more product from them in a quicker time. Because I give my kids a playbook, believe it or not, and I just feel that them looking at it and us going over it on a blackboard really helps them in that way. And then we'll break it down onto the ice and things like, you know, systems and traps and special teams and things like that. That I was told when I done it, oh, you don't want to do that. You don't want to do that with these kids, you know. You know, Oxford hasn't had the best sort of production line with players. And I was like, no, I'm going to do this. I'm going to give them that playbook and work on these things. And they really took to it. And we've broken away again. It was all small area stuff that they were doing from the under-14s. So by the time they came to big area things and the game itself, at times they were lost. So I was like, right, we need to stretch this ice out and get them skating with the puck and get them attacking on a 3-on-2 and, you know, such and such, and back-checking and working hard in those areas and things. So, and I found that quite quickly they started to take some things really on board. You know, traps and stuff like that. And you're like, great, look at this. And that was really rewarding. For me, really rewarding. And that was, I've had them a couple of years now. And they've started to put some wins on the board now, which has been great for Oxford as well. But yeah, in the older ones, you'll always get the one or two superstars that will do it their own way. And, you know, you just sometimes, you might just have to leave them to it because, you know, they're doing a good job doing it their own way sometimes, you know.
So do you think they're having that book, something tangible, that they can actually sort of say, right, this is what he wants us to do, that really did help their brains get it in gear?
It did, because, you know, a lot of them, their minds wander if you sit them in a classroom. But, you know, if you kind of put the book in front of them and say, right, over the next sort of couple of months, be looking at it, there's some that will, there's some that won't. And that was something I really had to get my head around with coaching juniors, was some kids are there for a laugh and some kids are there for the exercise and some are for the social side. Not every kid wants to be the next, you know, Wayne Gretzky. You know, so you're kind of like, right, okay, that's fine. That's acceptable, you know. It was like my missus, we used to go and watch the football with Archie and you know, he never got on for the last 10 minutes. And I'd be like, come on, you've got to start playing. And she's like, he's not going to be a footballer. He is in no way going to make any type of Premiership team. And I was like, okay, right, okay. But just kind of my mentality and drive, it was never a thing. But, once you get your head around that, you can work with it. You can work with it more. But it is rewarding. It's very rewarding. I kind of wish I'd maybe broke it in a little bit sooner. But yeah, you know, at the moment, it's not to say I'll never go back to seniors. It's good at the moment. At the moment, it's good.
Mm. I mean, would you say then, as you were saying there about, you know, not every kid there wants to be the next Wayne Gretzky or, you know, for instance, like the next Liam Kirk, the next, you know, Dowdy or something. Do you think it's something in this country then that the top level isn't sort of offering enough to the young players to make them think I can make that level, and they see that the NHL is the real sort of top focal point, but they know it's unachievable?
Yeah, I mean, I have to be careful. Oxford is a funny little club. And when I first went to it, I said it was a sleeping giant, and to this day I still believe it. With the seniors, it was starting to build with Shane Moore there. Unfortunately, Shane's left now. And you can almost, you know, from what I've heard, the crowds are sort of slumping. And, you know, you've got like Sir Hullaby and those players that some of our kids link to the import side of it. You know, both the imports have gone and left now for the Stars. And for Oxford Junior, sometimes the link isn't that strong to the Stars for whatever reason. A lot of them have got a lot of other stuff going on in Oxford. But, I mean, within the city itself, it's sometimes not promoted in the best way. And you know, they could. But like I say, it was going in that direction. Whether it carries on now, that remains to be seen, really, to be fair.
Yeah. You can't really fault the off-ice promotion of Oxford this year. That's been quite good.
I mean, they've been pushing it on the, you know, the social side. But it's probably like a lot of places, you know. You could probably speak to 10 people in Chelmsford and, you know, two or three of them might say, oh, I didn't know there was an ice hockey team where they played ice hockey. I think you speak to 10 people in Oxford and 7, 8 of them don't know that there's an ice hockey team. You know, it's just not really covered in Oxford its own. And that's where I see is a massive downfall for the club, even for the junior club. Mm. But I think, you know, we're working hard on changing that within your juniors. And that's, you know, something that we need to do.
Yeah, well, with the seniors, it has been a tough year. At the start of the year, the roster they put together and everything that was coming out on their socials and everything looked incredibly exciting. But obviously Simon didn't quite work out this year, and he sadly left, I think it was just before Christmas. Were you ever in the frame to step into his shoes there?
No. No, I don't think so. Not with the current management. When I was there, I left the team. The truth of the matter was, I told them that I'd be leaving at the end of the season, and they said, and I had done that with Derek before, I gave him plenty of warning that I was stepping down, and we spoke about it, and I said, Derek, let's get other coaches in and have a look at the setup, the team, and that's when we got Gary Clark down. And he came and looked at it and he watched the game and he was like, yeah, okay, I'm on board here. And then the mantle was handed over to him. Well, you know, I sort of felt that at Oxford, and I said to them, you know, that this was my plan. And I think I had about 8-10 weeks to go. And they said, you have to tell the team. I said, well, I can't tell the team, you know, like, you know, I'm going to say, bloody skate, and they're going to say, yeah, jog on, mate, you leave in 2 weeks. So, and we were a goal scorer away. We were a sniper away from stealing points from people. We were always 2-3 goals away. Yeah, we had a couple of hide-ins, but we were always kind of in the mix with it there. And then it became... They insisted I told the team, and it was a combination of other sort of bits and pieces. I mean, if they had the setup they had now, I don't see there'd be an issue, you know, with the promoting it and the pushing it and stuff like that. And that's what I'd kind of asked for. So I ended up just getting the players together in a meeting and saying, gentlemen, this is my situation. I hope you understand. All the best. Take care. So, yeah, there's you know, it's not... Dean's not the first name to get pushed in front of the Stars at the moment, unfortunately. It's all right. It's no problem.
Do you think that the club utilised the university that's in the city?
No. Don't get touched. Doesn't get touched, no.
Really?
There's a lot of things, you know. There's a lot of things within Oxford that doesn't, you know. You forget that it's quite... you got a lot of tourists in there. When I go on holiday sometimes, you know, if I'm in a place, I went to, I don't know, Sweden or Norway or something, I'd have a look in the sports shop to see if they've got the local ice hockey team or, you know, stuff like that. Again, you know, I sort of said to them, like, put a shirt in there, an Oxford shirt in there. You know, that guy from Toronto's going to go, bloody hell, I'm going to get my little Johnny this, you know, Oxford ice hockey shirt. You know, he'll love that back in Toronto. Areas like that kind of hadn't been touched. The university, there is a little something about that some of them players are fantastic, by the way. The tier ones are absolutely. Mm. I watched a Cambridge and Oxford game, and I was like, Jesus, some of them players would walk right into our team without even passing goal, no doubt. I think it's whether I'm not sure if they can do it, or you know, the import ruling and stuff like that. I'm not 100% sure, but no, not even the fans. I mean, I've seen it like packed to the rafters at Oxford with the university. They let them in for free, and they go, yeah, "Come watch." And it's been absolutely all these just students. But it's something that really needs to be looked at. You know, again, that's something that really could happen.
Yeah, I know the Cambridge Kodiaks have actually done that. They've utilised the Cambridge University, and they've got some fantastic players playing in the WNIHL with them there. I mean, the Great British University side played out in, I think it was Lake Placid in New York at the end of last year in a tournament, and did relatively well for how they normally do. They did relatively well. But it's, again, how do they kind of expect the sport in this country to grow if it's not getting... not getting the balls put behind it.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's something that just alone, you know, I've always had quite a few ideas, and within our juniors, we're starting to utilise them a bit now. But there's still a lot more that we can be doing and pushing on to grow our club. That's for sure. And you know, it just needs. It's been treading water for a long time, and it just needs to. It needs to just start swimming.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Yeah. Yeah, we've said with pretty much every guest, we're looking now, the senior men are sort of three games away from the Olympics. The senior women are sort of following in behind for Team GB. That could be a massive boost to the sport as long as that's marketed and handled right. But yeah. So with the juniors, I mentioned last week I had James Waddington from the Chelmsford Academy.
Yeah. There.
Who's in with the Rattlesnakes, that, I mean, you might have a similar problem in Oxford. Is there an issue with getting players that aren't legacy players, as I would call them, that have got family that have played the sport, just trying to attract those completely new kids into the sport?
We've started to do it with our Learn to Play, and it's still early days with that. I know Chelmsford's Learn to Play system, you know, Richie Whiten runs that, and I spoke to him a couple of times about it, and they've got more kids on Learn to Play than we've got in our club.
Wow.
And you know, we're happy to plod along with that, and I'm like, no, let's push, come on, let's do something. You know, I think Richie said they had some like 60 kids on the ice and 40 on a waiting list. The thing with Oxford is we've got great opportunity for kids. Good amounts of ice time, good quality coaching. And, you know, there is some opportunities to go up and down. But getting it out there. You generally find those players who have played, their kids come down for a skate and be either take to it or they don't. Yeah. It's one of those, or excuse me, the parents sort of keep them interested and push them on with it. But we it's a bit of a vicious circle almost in Oxford. You know, you've not had that many. There's always the senior teams has never had that core that often. I mean, we did have quite a good core when we had, like, say, Joe Edwards, Josh Oliver, Dax Hedges, the Flores, you know, Oxford kids, Oxford guys. That's kind of gone and done, and we haven't redone that. We haven't looked at that, so we're always buying players in now. Mm. We've got a couple of kids. We've got the likes of Jake Williams, who's back, Tom Ravenscroft. But, you know, I was thinking, and when I did do it, I was kind of, I had those guys, Ravenscroft, Williams, Aidan McGurk, Theo Bundock, Griff Eden-Parrish, Will Birch, Lexi Smith, all young players. And I think if we had kept them within our club and worked on them, we wouldn't be in that bad a position just now. We'd have another spine that's growing. And that's what we did when I first took over the Chieftains. I was coaching at Streatham, spoke to Derek. Derek was like, come and do my Division 2. And I told him what I would do. And I said, I'll strip all the old guys out and I'll bring young kids in. And he was like, right, let's do it. And then Nolan Smith, who was in charge of the Chieftains at the time, they were the league above, they said, oh, you know, we need to, you know, we're going to come down, we're stopping. So we did, and we ended up being the main team. And I said, I'm still doing this, Derek. And he was like, right, okay, what's your plans? And I'm like, let's bring the kids in. And we got put down, there was 2 tiers, we got put down to Division 2. And I think we drew the first game. And then I think we just were unbeaten after that, the rest of the season almost. And we just went up into Division 1. But that was when, you know, we brought, like, say, Ross Beers, James Aylin, Alex Staples, Green Dan Harmon, Darren Brown, Ben Clement, Sean East, all them guys made the spine, and that stayed with Chelmsford for, 10, 15 years, something like that?
Yeah.
They ended up playing for.
Yeah. James Ayling and Darren Brown, and he stopped a couple of years ago.
Yeah, that's what I mean, you know. And then we redid it again after that. Sean Easton was heavily involved with the juniors. And we'd done it with the... I went and stepped down to the Warriors. And we had the likes of Jake Sylvester, Brandon Ayliff, and Callum Wells, Ollie Bullock, Novak, and Aaron Connolly, Sonny, Dervish. All them kids, we brought them back in again. And it got to the stage where Clarkey was running the Chieftains, and they won all 3 or 4 titles or cups that they could. And my kids ended up winning 3 out of 3 as well, playoffs, league, and cup. And we were like, hey, we're not good. Unfortunately, Sean moved to Romford, and rightly so, like, say, Sylvester, Mayliff, and Callum, and that, they all went and played up a league. Or that would have been the next spine in there. They might come back into it for a few years, I'd like to think so. But, you know, Chelmsford has a good knack of churning out some quality junior players, even now. Even some of the kids that have got now that I've seen, I'm thinking, you know, geez, if we had some of that down here, we'd be happy, very happy. I mean, Kira Warrington, James's daughter, she plays for us, she signed for us. And she just played a 19s game there and basically won it. Won it for us. It was, well, sorry, we drew 1-1 with Cardiff. She had 53 shots on her and let a goal in. And she was outstanding. Absolutely outstanding. But, you know, we'll get there. We'll get there in the end, Oxford. It's a work in progress, for sure. But, that Chelmsford, those days were there. It was a pleasure. It was a real pleasure coaching them kids. Really was.
Yeah, and as you say, I mean, some of the names you've got in there, Chelmsford fans will be sort of sitting there thinking, oh, yeah, those names. Kind of rolls the years back for them.
Yeah.
Even, like some of the youngsters that you mentioned in that Warriors side, you know, the likes of Ollie Baldock and Sonny Phillips and that, you know, they're now in this league.
Yeah.
Sonny's at Romford, obviously, but Ollie's having an incredible season with the Chieftains, as he did last year.
Yeah.
But they're... I think that's possibly when they became one of the most hated clubs in Britain, because they kind of just seem to win everything.
Well, I mean,
similar to what Streatham are getting at the moment.
We literally brought the likes of James Ayling and Breers, Darren, out of the under-18s. They were still under-18s. And Sean was coaching the 18s, and he was like, I need them, or Aaron Connolly, or Blaho Novak. And I'm like, no, they're coming with me because they're actually playing. You know, they're not sitting as a set of third or fourth line. They're playing. They're massive part of my squad. He shouldn't change his tune when he was the senior coach. And he was asking for juniors. But, no, I mean, we plucked him right out and just worked them and worked them and worked them. And, you know, they had a fantastic time. You know, a real good career at Chelmsford.
Yeah, and it's noticeable. I mean, it's something that's been said a lot recently, and people that have been in the game for a period of time will know that it all does move in cycles and whatnot. And at the moment, at our level, the cycle is with the Streatham Redhawks, who have just had. They're having an incredible season. They've had an incredible 3 or 4 years. So yeah, at the moment it's their time, but you know, someone else's time will come soon. We've got an incredibly young Slough Jet side in this league as well.
Yeah.
And as you said, I don't think Oxford are a million miles away. It almost seems a couple of ingredients away from being a cracking meal.
Excuse me. I feel they need to, you know, if I had control of it, what I'd be saying is, right, we're coming in eighth next year, and I'm going to work on, you know, some of the rising star kids that I know that are homegrown. Those homegrown players give you everything, you know, the majority of them. Make them the main players, some good seasoned players in there, and let's start working with the youth that we've got there as well, and, you know, get them through and get an involvement, you know, get a link up with the rising, get the link up with the juniors in the rising, so we've got that clear, good pathway going through. But, if that was me, I would be saying, right, this is what we're doing. And in 2-3 years' time, we have a good base, we have a good spine, and we're competing. Exactly what Smits has done at Slough, you know. I think you need the right. I think you need someone in there, coaching stature, maybe at a Bornock or a seasoned pro, like what, you know, they kind of had at Streatham when, you know, they started, with like Safarn and, you know, people like that, you know, that they attracted you to the club almost. It's a difficult job sometimes getting people to come into Oxford, unfortunately, and I found that the hard way. That's what my plan would be, for sure, because, you know, it's just a rebuild every year. That's all that happens there, really. You know, a couple of guys stay about, although they've been told 1 year they're not needed, and then halfway through they're needed, like, so, you know, Bundock and Ravenscroft and Jake Williams, and you're like, that's the future of Oxford there. Like it or not, they are the future players of Oxford. So, I mean, but, you know, what do I know?
Well, it could be a lot more competitive division next year, as we know for sure the Haringey Huskies are coming to join
right after
this season. And we're possibly going to be having the Cardiff Canucks as well. Have you seen what Trevor's doing down there? What do you think?
I think that's fantastic. You know, it's something like, you know, we sort of done at Chelmsford by bringing loads of kids in. But what they'll do, it'll be like the OHA kind of thing. And from what I gather, and, you know, full power to them if they can do that. The setup there is pretty decent as it is in Cardiff. If they can get a good group of under 21s and work them, and give them that ice time that they need. Sometimes, unfortunately, it comes down to finances with that, if you can afford to do that. But, you know, to be given that opportunity, that's cracking. That is really good, you know. Yeah, there's rumours about other teams coming into Division 1 as well there. Open the doors to get a lot more juniors in and up there, you know, and maybe some people can carry on and sort of look at the way that Slough have done it, because that product's fantastic there, you know, really good,
it could almost be the start of a dynasty really down in Cardiff if that takes off and they get enough numbers in.
Yeah, definitely, really,
because we lost the Cardiff fire.
Yeah, we lost to Cardiff Fire from that division, not last year, the year before. They dropped into the league below.
Yeah.
And an eight-team division, the problem is there's no jeopardy for playoffs, which does make it a bit of a shame. But from your coaching and everything aside, let's go right back. What got you playing ice hockey?
My cousin, well, I'm Kirkcaldy Fife, they've got the Flyers. And at that time, they won the league at Wembley. And the time when I was kind of like, what's all this noise? My cousin took me up to a Fife Flyers game. And I was like, what is this? The next day, borrowed a pair of skates on the Sunday. I was on the ice, wobbling about. I never forget, they used to, after the Fife Flyers game, they used to allow you to go on the ice. You hire skates, and off you went. And I was skating around, and I saw a guy that I knew, Stephen Lynch. We're best friends now, you know, being best men at each other's weddings and whatnot. And Stephen came up and sprayed me. And he was like, oh, nice skates or something like that. And I thought, you asshole, I'm going to get you. So that was kind of my first sort of, like, you know, my motive almost. I skated at every opportunity I could get. I was on that ice. Unfortunately, ice hockey was that big at Kirkcaldy at the time. They had an every age group. They had two teams, and it was jam-packed. They closed the doors. So I went to the local, one just up the road in Glenrothes, and played there, started there. And I think that was the best thing for me because you got opportunity. And sometimes going to the bigger club is not what you need, you know, to get the opportunity to play. I mean, we always turned out really good goalkeepers simply because we weren't that great and they were getting loads of shots on them.
Yeah.
You know, like our goalies were becoming GB players and Scotland players and whatnot, you know. Like the Downey brothers and people. So I was at Glenrothes. Unfortunately, that folded. By that time, there was always a rivalry with Kirkcaldy. I tried Kirkcaldy for half a season. I didn't get on with it. Moved up to Dundee and was playing for Dundee for most a good bit of my juniors. And we were lucky enough to make it to the old Wembley weekend where the best under-18s or 19s team would, from Scotland and England would play with the Dundee, and it was against Durham. But we had like John Haig, David Smith, some real top players. it was nothing to do with me. It was great times, great times. That's what got me in. And I mean, Fife used to be, Kirkcaldy itself used to be about the Flyers. Everybody went to the Flyers, and you would, you know, you'd wait for an hour and a half to get into the rink, and once you got in, you were like a sardine squashed in there. And it was only three imports at the time, and you know, I've saw some fantastic players start there, like Steve Moria, Darcy Cahill, like just phenomenal players, like starting their careers in British ice hockey there, and it was fantastic time. Really, really loved it. Really loved it.
And then you obviously had a little bit of time playing down south, but you had a bit of GB stuff as well. Was that a junior level?
Believe it or not, I used to be a decent player.
Oh yeah, I quite believe it.
Believe it or not, I was actually all right. I had a couple of seasons in GB. My first season. We used to do a camp down in Basingstoke, and it was in an army barracks, and I was in a room sharing of, I think, six or eight guys, and I was with David Longstaff, with Lobby, and I was youngest there. I was youngest there. I was a pup, and they used to torture me. They would never get away with it now. You know, like Raljects, like one eyebrow. I used to have hair as well. They'd chop your hair, and it was just like. And my mum and dad kind of knew, like, I'm coming home a mess.
It's expected.
It was, and that was the banter back then. But I used to end up falling asleep. I remember one time, we're in army barracks, my bed getting kicked, and I shut up and I went, "Well, you beep 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 off, Lobby," and there was a soldier there with a gun pointing it at me, And I'm like, what the? And everybody else's faces were white. And so I'm in my pants. I grabbed the first thing. He's like, get up out of your bed. Get out here now. So grab my shirt. And I'm a hockey shirt. I'm like, pants and a hockey shirt out onto the parade square. And basically, the IRA had done something about a year before. And there was a bomb threat. And we're all sitting out there at 3 o'clock in the morning going, what the Jesus, and all these tanks going round us, and everybody's just white as a ghost, freezing. And then they went, right, that's it, it's clear. So about 4 o'clock, you know, we're like back to your bed sort of thing. Then the light goes on at 6 o'clock, right, boys, up you get on the bus, yeah. We're going training. You're like, Jesus.
There's certainly no getting back to sleep after that, is there?
So I had a couple of seasons with GB. And then I say this story to my kids. When you're playing with, like, say, David Longstaff and Ashley Tate and John Weaver and all these guys that played Elite for years, they were at the gym when I was going to bars, hanging out with girls, going to pubs, nightclubs, doing all that. They were doing it to an extent, but not as regular. And I went down that road thinking, no, I'll be fine. But they were going to the gym, they were working out, they were getting extra ice. And yeah, it just, you know, I stuck plateaued, they shot up. And I never forget sort of meeting Ashley Tate when he was captain of Coventry. And we were sitting in a Witherspoon's just by the ice rink, and he was like, he had all his meal paid for, and then his team car, and team petrol, and wages, and all his bills paid for. And I'm like, yeah, that was the smartest move, Dean. You know, you just took that opportunity away from yourself. But yeah, we had a couple of games. We went on some fantastic tours and stuff. We went on a tour of Canada.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Toronto area, Windsor, Ontario, and Detroit, Austria. We were on national live TV on Austria, and we got hammered 15-0 to the extent the I was asking, what are the it had like plexiglass coming over your head on the benches. I was like, what's all that about? You know, yeah, by the third period, everybody throwing their coins and their drinks because we knew what that was about, kind of thing. But it was quite early days, I think, for the GB thing then, and it's not what it was now. But it was great times, fantastic, fantastic times. But yeah, just sort of took the wrong road, really, if I'm honest with you, and bit me in the ass.
But it's something actually I think you can do now. I mean, God, it was probably about 18 months ago, and I was talking with Sean McMorrow, who played one game in the NHL, a little bit in the AHL, and we were discussing a Finnish coach that he'd dealt with, who always said that it was, you could have a great player at 14, you could have a great player at 15, but until he has a beer and a girlfriend, you don't know how good he's going to be.
That's very true, actually. Very true.
And it's got to be so difficult, especially these days where obviously there's social media, there's a lot of stuff online where people are sort of seeing what they can do. For these youngsters to actually say, no, this is what I want to do, I'm going to do it the right way.
I mean, I'd hate to be a youngster now with the social media that's about.
Oh, so would I.
I was an absolute arsehole. I was a mouth little bugger. never a truer word said about that, actually, yeah. Until you've had your first couple of beers, And that was something about, you know, Chelmsford as well. I came down there. I was at Peterborough, and we had a coach, Cam Plant, and I was they were in the top league at the time, and I would maybe get chucked on once, twice a game, up and down the wing. Off you go, son. That's plenty. But that's how it was in those days. You really did ride the pine. And they said, we're looking for a defender down in Chelmsford. And, I said, I'd like to go. And I went down there. I was like, wow, this is different out here, you know, the nightclubs. And I was like, can I sort of stay up here? They're like, yeah, just, you know, sort of next season, come, you know, give us a shout. And I was like, right, okay. But once all that kind of, like, bright lights almost of the city got you, you were, okay, I might stay here for a while. And had a great time doing it. But, yeah, some of the boys there are just absolute fruit loops, you know. And I'm still good friends with quite a lot of them now. But they're a different breed, some for some of them.
Yeah, I think that's very true across sport, life in general, that, you know, yeah, it's very much a different breed these days, yeah, doing everything.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
a lot of them are actually kind of got into the coaching now, you know, like, say, Glenn Morehouse and John Beckett, and, you know, coached all them and are friends with all them, and Richard Tomlin, Craig Metcalf. They all played Chieftains in, but, you know, they knew how to have a good time doing that, you know. Many a time as a coach, I'd get onto that bus and there'd be every single person on that bus without a stitch of clothing on.
Yeah.
And the driver would be looking at me going, what's going on? Don't worry about a driver. Just keep pointing that way. Just keep going. Don't worry about them. You know? They were just absolute nut jobs. Some of the stories I could sort of tell, though, obviously not on here, but, oh, man, it's just... yeah, some of them boys were a different breed.
Yeah, it's we haven't quite got that reputation on Zero Pucks Given for those sorts of stories, not quite yet.
Yeah. Like, I don't even get away with half of that stuff anymore. You know, many a time you'd have someone tied at the end of the training session to the goalpost and chucked onto the ice, you know, not wearing very much. Sometimes the boys would openly just go out and skate it themselves, you know. Yeah. They were just, they were absolute bonkers, some of them. Absolute bonkers. And you couldn't, you had to, in a way, run with it. You know, you could patrol it to a degree, but, you know, they're not full-time players. They weren't semi-professional. They got a little bit of beer money. So, you know, you kind of encourage them not to go out on a Friday. You know, or after a game on a Saturday, but, you know, some of them at that point would. And, it's not, I think it's more serious now, which is a good thing. You know, it's sort of, it's come a bit more professional and throughout those leagues, totally throughout those leagues. But, it was some of it you just kind of couldn't patrol, and you would just, I mean, I had players that I knew if they hadn't been out and had a drink because they played awful. Like, Andy Moffat, he was a prime suspect. If he hadn't gone out on a Friday night, he would stink the place out the next day and go. And you'd be like, what is wrong with him? He never got pissed last night. And then you're like, okay. Like, there's a little six-pack. Don't say nothing to anyone. Just have them and, you know, get yourself the drink. He was always there on time, and he was phenomenal when he got going, you know. Absolutely phenomenal when Andy got going. But, he was a nut bar as well, with the best of them.
Well, I mean, certainly giving you a lifetime of memories, I suppose, then playing this this crazy sport.
Yes, definitely has, yeah. There's a few stories, you know. I was trying to think of them. I was, what the bits and pieces that were kind of going on. I remember when I played at Haringey, Chelmsford and I had party for a season or two, and I played at Haringey, and we won the league, and we went up and we played Whitley Bay, and a lot of them boys had never been to the Bay before. And I said to them, like, lads, like, there was Zoran Kozic. I don't know if you know, a lot of your members might. And he used to wear a face mask because he was a London banker and he couldn't get his face messed up and whatnot. And I said, you really don't want to be wearing that face mask if they know that you're old enough not to wear it on here. No, I'd be okay. I was like, all right, man. And then the first face-off with the drop of the puck, he was down there and they just, it was like someone out of Slapshot. The boy just lifted his stick and just walloped him right off the head. And he was down on his ass now. It's just like, this is going to be a long, long night. Just a long, long night. But, yeah, it's, I've had some great times with the sport. It's had its good and its bads, its ups and its downs. It's been good to me. I've had some great times.
Yeah, and I'm sure, I know everyone who's probably been coached by you will have good memories themselves from doing that as well. I know you're certainly very well respected in Chelmsford amongst all the fans and the players alike. It's such an honour for me to have you on this podcast. Obviously, it was a Chelmsford Chieftains podcast, but we sort of spread out a little bit. But yeah, it's been a real pleasure to talk to you, mate.
Thank you very much for having me. It's been a pleasure to come on.
Well, good luck for the rest of the season with the Oxford Juniors, and we'll be we're keeping our eyes out for your lads, of course, and how your teams are getting on.
Great. Superb.
Dean Beryl, thank you very much, mate.
Thank you. Great.
A massive thank you to Dino for joining me. What a really great day. I completely lost track of time as we were talking. Some of the stories from the old days in the hockey, it's fantastic stuff to hear. I'm sure there's some that would have been more worthy for 4,000 and counting type stories, a little bit of stuff, boys on the road and whatnot. But we kept it relatively clean, as we normally like to do on here. But yeah, massive thank you to Dean. Real, real, real enjoy that conversation. So, right, that is it. That is episode 91 in the bank. We are now counting them down. We're getting very close to that super 100 mark. Again, really trying to plan something cool to do for that 100. Next week, of course, we have the roundup, which will be episode number 92. Then we have Katie Dad, which will be episode number 93. And then the next roundup will be 94. And then Jordan Lauday will be number 95. So we are sort of trying to count them down. I think 100 will actually fall on the playoff weekend, which will be exceptional if that happens. Hopefully I will be there. I've not found out from England Ice Hockey just yet as to whether I've been given media accreditation, but I would certainly hope that comes through the next few days, because it's going to be a real, real pleasure to sort of cover that. For those of you looking for tickets, I have actually spoken with Alexandra Palace today. There is still about 300 available, because I would imagine as soon as the Haringey Huskies confirm their qualification that they will go incredibly quickly. So, yeah, don't leave it too late, because, say, only 300 tickets left, they will sell. They will sell quite quickly. So, yeah, do not delay. Also, then, if you're heading out to your clubs this weekend, make sure you get your tickets in advance where you can, get them from the right places. And remember, of course, no one is streaming their games in South One other than Milton Keynes when they're playing at home, and you can get the tickets for that off the Ticket Co website. So that no one gets stung, make sure you're doing it all from the right places. Thank you so much for listening. Massive thank you to Dean Beryl for joining me on the podcast. I'll catch you next time. Hello and welcome to Zero Pucks Given, the UK ice hockey podcast. We are in partnership with the Hockey Art Co, hockey clothing for hockey people, worn by the best and hated by the rest. Listeners to Zero Pucks Given get a 10% discount off everything site-wide at hockeyartclothing.co.uk. Just use the code ZP10 upon checkout to get your discount. And we are also in our final week of our sponsorship period with Manscaped, redefining the gentleman with exceptional male grooming products. If you use the code ZEROPUCKS, all one word, all caps, at manscaped.com, you'll get 20% off and free shipping on any of your purchases there. I'm nice and fresh today. I can possibly not show you where I shaved earlier, otherwise I will probably get cancelled off of YouTube and all sorts of other places. But yeah, you vouch for me, that works incredibly well. So, and we are also on the Sports Social Podcast Network, the largest sports podcast network in Europe. So we're absolutely thrilled to be a part of that. And it just goes to show really just how much Zero Pucks has grown in the sort of the last sort of year and a bit that it's been going. So, yeah, fantastic stuff. This is episode 91. I'm Ben. Welcome along to Zero Pucks Given. Absolute pleasure this episode. Joined by a guy I started speaking to Dean about a year ago. He was quite excited about the podcast and that it was getting a little bit more details out there about the game in general. But at the time, it was really mainly a lot of Chance for Chief and stuff. And Dean Burrell has had an awful long kind of tie with the Chieftains. He's been many, many roles within the club. Come back every time a sort of a coach seems to depart, Dean seems to appear on the bench as well to sort of to do his thing. So it was a real great honour to speak to Dean Burrell. And we'll get to that just in a minute. A little bit of breaking news that we had come out today is that Slough Jets putting their roster together for the next couple of years. Of course, last week they confirmed that they've got Seb Moore on signed for 2 years. Today have confirmed that Jack Goodchild has done the same and has locked in for 24-25 and for 25-26. So Schmitz is certainly putting a strong young roster together to take on the other teams in South 1. So with that news out of the way, we will get straight to our chat with the main man, Dean Burrell. A massive thank you to Dino for joining me. What a really great day. I completely lost track of time as we were talking. You know, some of the stories from the old days in the hockey is fantastic stuff to hear. I'm sure there's some that would have been more, possibly more worthy for 4,000 and counting type stories, a little bit of stuff, boys on the road and whatnot. But we kept it relatively clean, as we normally like to do on here. But yeah, massive thank you to Dean. Real enjoy that conversation. So, right, that is it. That is episode 91 in the bank. We are now counting them down. We're getting very close to that super 100 mark. Again, really trying to plan something cool to do for that 100. Next week, of course, we have the roundup, which will be episode number 92. Then we have Katie Dad, which will be episode number 93. And then the next roundup will be 94. And then Jordan Lorday will be number 95. So we are sort of trying to count them down. I think 100 will actually fall on the playoff weekend, which will be exceptional if that happens. Hopefully I will be there. I've not found out from England Ice Hockey just yet as to whether I've been given media accreditation, but I would certainly hope that that comes through the next few days because it's going to be a real pleasure to sort of cover that. For those of you looking for tickets, I have actually spoken with Alexandra Palace today. There is still about 300 available. Because I would imagine as soon as the Haringey Huskies confirm their qualification that they will go incredibly quickly. So yeah, don't leave it too late because say only 300 tickets left, they will sell quite quickly. So yeah, do not delay. Also then, if you're heading out to your clubs this weekend, make sure you get your tickets in advance where you can, get them from the right places. And remember, of course, no one is streaming their games in South 1 other than Milton Keynes when they're playing at home, and you can get the tickets for that off the Ticket Co website. So that no one gets stung, make sure you're doing it all from the right places. Thank you so much for listening. Massive thank you to Dean Burrell for joining me on the podcast. And I'll catch you next time.
Sports Social Podcast Network.